guys. Welcome to
the brand new podcast, Young and in Love.
This
is the podcast, Young and in Love. Hello, young lovers, and welcome to another episode of Young and in Love.
Young and in Love.
Again, I'm Josh.
And I'm Taylor.
We're the Andersons. And this is Young and in Love. Young and in Love. This is Young and in Love. A quick note on the episode from last week. We got word, and we also had issues, as you could tell from our last episode, from our partners at the Adventure Challenge, that a lot of people who have ordered their book are having difficulties with the scratch-off portions of the book, which is sort of fundamental, so that you can still read the date after you scratch it off. But they came up with a solution that if any of you have those small kitchen we call them Brillo pads, because that's the company that makes them. So they're like the green brisk scrubbers that you can use. It's sort of like the rough side of a sponge, but only that side. You can actually cut a small square and then use those to scratch off the rectangles. And they work really well. They have a video posted on their YouTube channel. And that's at the @adventure_challenge on Instagram, where they've also posted that video. So if you need help scratching off your stickers after you buy the book, go check out that video. Welcome, one and all, to yet another episode of the Young and in Love podcast. I am your co-host, Josh, here along with my beautiful wife, Taylor.
Hello.
And we are accompanied by our cutest dog in the world, Gus. You might hear him panting in the background or rustling around. We are going to talk about a really cool activity that we went to tonight. It was a date night. It was like a big old group date night at church. A bunch of the married couples got together for dinner and dancing. But at the dinner, we had two people, our bishop and his wife, in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We have a bishop who is a normal, everyday guy, has a job, has a family, has kids. He is called to lead the congregation, so he doesn't get paid. He doesn't sign up for it. He is called of God, and he accepts that invitation willingly, and then he serves and he leads the congregation, similar to the way a priest does in the Catholic Church. They gave a beautiful message about love at home and the things that we can do to establish good relationships. They wanted to really point out that no matter what our family situation is like, or who we have in our family or who we consider family, we all have relationships in our life, whether it be with our friends or our family or our colleagues. So they wanted to mention a couple things that we could do to have better relationships in our life. So one of those, or they left it open to the couples that were there at dinner, and a couple of ideas that were thrown around were mutual respect one for another,
communication,
putting someone else's needs above your own,
thinking of the positives and like getting rid of all the negatives, only focusing on the positives and seeing things from their perspective.
Yeah, that was actually a really cool exercise that she the bishop's wife did. Bishop Burfiend and his wife, shout out to Brother and Sister Burfiend, that she asked us to imagine something that really irritates us about our partner. And we were just supposed to think of it in our head. And then she asked us to think about something that we really love about our partner, and to think about that in our head and to pay attention how we felt. And I really noticed this, that when she asked us to think about something that irritated us, she said, "Didn't you feel sort of angry and like start to get a little upset and like blood starts to flow a little faster? Blood pressure goes up a bit and you start to turn a little red." And I was like, yeah, it sort of felt like what was happening. And then she's like, "But when you think about the positive things and things you really love about them, your whole mood changes. You like feel calm and like reassured." And I was like, yeah, totally. maybe gratitude is a superpower after all. So that was some cool messages, but we've got a couple more here that we'd like to talk about today, and there's quite a few of them, so we're just going to go ahead and jump right in. Taylor, why don't you take it away with this first one?
Okay, so the first one, the first one is that we need to treat our family better than we treat our friends, because they talked about how growing up, a lot of their kids started to treat their friends better than they did their family. And I know that I did this growing up, like when I would have friends over at my house or whatever, I was so nice to them, but I'd treat my little sister Kaylee like garbage. I was so mean to her, and we'd boss her around, and now I'm not even friends with those people anymore, but, like, my sister is, like, my best friend, and, like, I don't know, your family's always gonna be there for you, no matter what, like, through thick and thin.
Shout out to the Renegar clam. Woo woo!
So, you really have to prioritize those relationships, and for your kids, you have to... I think it would be a good idea to teach your kids young just to prioritize your family and to make sure you always treat your family like family, always. Like, your family are your friends, because your family, whether you like it or not, when you're a kid, like, they're going to be your friends for life. So those relationships are the ones that really matter. And teach your kids young that's what you got to do. And she, Sister Burfiend, Lisa, she was actually... pretty funny about that. She said that if you can't treat your family like friends, then you'll have no friends, which I thought was super funny. I mean, they have 8 kids. There's a lot of other friends, like family friends, you know, but anyways, that's pretty funny. Strict. Cool. I like it.
Notes for later. Another topic that they covered, which was lots of family activities. So just how we spend lots of times with our friends, and when we want to get closer to our friends, we really set aside that time to get close to them. We need to do the same thing with our family. So lots of family activities, which may include activities at home or abroad. As Taylor mentioned before, they have 8 kids. So she said there wasn't a lot of spare money to go on these extravagant vacations like they were seeing a lot of their friends do. But they made sure to always create unique activities at home where everyone participated. So they would play fun sports together. They even invented a cool game that they would play in their pool or in their neighborhood pool. And how everyone would participate and everyone got a chance, whether they were playing those new games that they invented or playing a game of wiffle ball in the backyard. So she said, although they spent lots of time together as a family, they always needed to make sure that they set aside individual time with each member of the family. And the more that I personally study about parenting and what needs to be done, the more I truly believe that this is a eternal principle that needs to be followed. That no matter how many children you have, you always need to set aside time, individual time, where it's just you and said person, whatever relationship you're trying to strengthen, whether it be between you and your children, or you and your spouse, or you and your best friend, you and your parents. You need to set this time aside so that you guys can get to know each other, because that's really when relationships are going to start to grow, is when you share experiences with one another, and you begin to trust one another even more because of that precious time. It's the only resource that is truly non-renewable. Mm-hmm. Even fossil fuels are come back eventually once we all die and get compressed back into oil. But time is the only resource that you can't give back, so it is the most precious resource.
Our good dog just growled at nothing to sleep. I also think that's, like, super important, especially, like, to do it, especially with your kids at, like, multiple... I mean, you'd think this would be, like, a weekly thing, but... I mean, I think it's something that you need to keep up on. Like, as long, like, when you sit down with one kid, like, it's not just like, okay, like, they're good. like, move on for, I don't know, however long, and then you go back, like, a year later. Hopefully that's not the case. I don't know. I'm not a parent yet. But, obviously, like, kids grow super fast. I work with kids all the time, and I know, I can see over time, like, how long, how much they change in such a short period of time. Like, their favorites change, their attitudes change, the things that they think about change, and all of that develops and changes so fast. So, like, if you're not sitting down with your kids on a regular basis, I mean, potentially they're like a whole another person by the time you talk to them again, because kids are like, they're learning so much at all the time, especially in like today's world where like things are just popping out at them, like on the TV or on like social media or like the games that they play. Like, so I just think it's super important to always just talk to your kid, like, know who they are. You know?
Agreed. You are the aficionado on the subject, so whatever you say goes. So let's get this issue out of the way and deal with it immediately so nothing arises. Taylor, can you talk about sweeping things under the rug?
I should be able to talk about this because I'm an expert at this. So when she talked about it, I was like, ooh. I think I've gotten a lot better at addressing things when they come up compared to how I used to be, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, I used to...
With some provoking sometimes.
Yeah. Sometimes I can be really stubborn and I, like, don't say anything to anyone and I sort of shut off. But I used to be a... Where you just hold everything and what's that called?
A recluse.
Okay. I used to be a recluse.
Well, that could reclusive. Be one thing. No, just...
Recluse, a recluse, whatever. I don't know what that's called. You just hold everything in. But I guess, I mean you can't change who I am. That
you could be a Spock.
A Spock.
Which is like,
I'm not a Spock. I feel like I'm a sponge. Yeah.
No.
A sponge is when you like feel like everything.
Right, you soak in everyone else's emotions around you. That's a sponge.
I don't know. Okay, guys, I need to do that again. I don't know what I am. Okay. Anyways. Yeah, so I guess I'm still currently that way, even though I'm better at it. But what I do, what I used to do a lot more, is, like, little things happen every day, and I get angry or, like, annoyed.
Like, but, Squidward.
Yeah, like Squidward. Like, I guess like Squidward. But I don't say anything. Like, I go on. I'm a really positive person, really cheerful, like, all the time. Like, that's just who I am. So I don't. Not, everything's hunky-dory, whatever. Our life is good. And then, little by little, these things keep building, building, building. And then, one day, it could be, like, a month later, 3 months later, 3 weeks later, since, like, X amount of things have happened. And one day, something else will happen, and I blow up. I freak out, and I start talking about things that happened, like, 4 months ago. And, like, Josh or... Growing up, like, my parents are just like, whoa, like, Taylor, like, what the heck? I don't even know what you're talking about. And I've gotten a lot better at that. But I have learned from, like, us being married and how, like, I don't know. It's just so important to address things as they come up so that you move on faster. You're not holding any grudges. There's no hard feelings because those things can really hinder your relationship and, like, not only, like, the experiences that you guys get to spend together with your husband or your significant other or your boyfriend or whatever, but it, like, almost puts a halt, like, on your relationship, like, on your growth, I would think, just because, like, you're, like, angry, whether, like, I don't know, it's not good. So you gotta address things as they come up. Or it only makes the problem grow bigger and bigger and bigger and blow way out of proportion than what it would be if you would just address it head on.
Speaking of addressing things head on, let's take a small break here and address who sponsored this episode this week. Taylor, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Thank you for that wonderful message past Josh and Tay, talking about our great friends over at Anchor. cool news about Anchor is that they were just bought out by Spotify. We have no idea what that means.
Hopefully it's good.
Hopefully that's good news. But they have been so gracious with so many resources to help us get this podcast up and off the ground, as well as find good sponsors for the podcast. So that's been a really huge, huge benefit for hosting our podcast on Anchor, and we will always give props to them. We have mad respect for Anchor. Talking about respect, like that transition. We need to have respect one for another between spouses as well as parents and children. So I think this one's pretty self-explanatory. Everyone knows what respect is. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. We know that...
Woo-wee! He's in a mood today.
So we know that respect is not only earned, but also given. That once we start to give others respect, regardless of how they treat us, they will inevitably feel the need to reciprocate respect. So as we respect those around us and their positions, as well as their opinions and their feelings, we will also begin to gain that respect. It's a hard step to take sometimes, especially with the way that some people treat us, but I know that it's always a rewardful one, and that when we give people the benefit of the doubt, we will continually prove our own prejudgment wrong, and that we will see the good in people. So go out there and respect one another. When you're in desperate need to try and do something in order to find this respect in somewhere, you can compliment one another always. I'm so hot on these transitions today.
Okay.
You don't think so?
No, I mean they're good.
It's pretty good flow. Anyways, when people hear your compliments, they'll actually strive to meet those expectations. This is one point that Lisa really drove home today during the message, is that when we compliment each other and we point out their positive attributes, they not only feel better in the instance, but whenever opportunities arise for them to portray those compliments and those characteristics that you've complimented, they will remember that, and it will be easier for them to perform them in the future. So always try and be the biggest cheerleader for whoever you're trying to support, and not the biggest critic. And sometimes that'll be hard, especially when you have to love one another in spite of your weaknesses and differences and pet peeves. Taylor, how would you give us your thoughts on this last topic here?
Oh, I think it's incredibly important, especially going back to children, because that's what I
that's
do.
That's your thing.
It's incredibly important in a child's development as well. As like teachers, it's so important for you, regardless of like the kid's level, of what they're currently at when they first come to you in class. If they're like really below, the kids are going to achieve whatever you expect them to. So if you make it clear that, and tell them that they can do X amount of things, or that they will do X amount of things, and that you expect them to meet, your high expectations, your high goals, they're going to try their best and they're going to strive to do that because you believe in them. But if you set really, really low goals that are easy for them to achieve, and you only expect things that you think that they can currently do, there's going to be no growth, and there might actually be some delays or regression. Yeah, regression as well. And there's been like a few studies gone on this for kids with special needs. There was a teacher, I don't remember what state or what school. And like, I'm sure, I mean, the one that I studied was like a few years ago. But I mean, I think people do this a lot more now. But I think stereotypically, as a society, we assume that kids or people in general with special needs like can't do the same things that the same people without special needs can do. And that's simply not true. Just because they have some sort of
disability
doesn't mean that they're going to be held back from doing normal, like, everyday things or normal everyday, like, mental capacities. It might take more work, it might take more studying and more understanding, but they can still do it. And it's important to treat everyone the same, regardless of their background, regardless of their financial situation at home, regardless of their family situation. Expect high things, and everyone's going to perform up to it.
Well said. Couldn't have said it any better myself, because I didn't know half those things. And that's a wrap on our list. These are just a couple of things that we can do in order to establish better relationships. So treat your friends, or treat your family better than your friends, because your family will always be around and they'll always be tied to you. And if your friends are like family, then treat them even better. There's no bad that can come from treating someone well. Have lots of family activities, whether they be cheap and creative or fun sports and games that you can play.
I'm going off on that. She mentioned that a lot of the times the things that kids remember most are those, like, spur of the moment things, like, that you do with your family that don't cost any money at all. And I can attest to this. So growing up, my family was pretty well off, and so we'd go on a lot of, like, extravagant vacations and go out of town a lot and do all this fun stuff. And as I got older, my parents would always ask me, like, oh, like, what was your favorite, like, vacation we went on, or what was your favorite moment? And every single time, it was never one of the extravagant things that we've done as a family. And they were always so shocked and almost, like, upset that that wasn't my favorite. But it really wasn't. All of my favorite things were either the vacations that we went on that, like, we had nothing planned. We just hung out as a family and did nothing. Or we just stayed at home and did certain stuff. And those were my favorite moments. So that's true. You don't have to spend a lot of money in order to have a good time or in order to create great memories. All you have to do is have each other.
And I think the same applies with normal relationships, that if we simply go out of our way to set aside time for those we care about the most, whether they be family or friends, that people will notice that, and that will be a cherished moment or a cherished memory that they will have for a lasting memory for them. Which is the third point that they covered, which was individual time with each member of your family. That includes your spouse and your children, if you have them, or your friends, just spending that individual time with each of them. No sweeping it under the rug. If there's an issue, deal with it immediately so no grudges form. And then at the end, you gotta hug it out. Say something positive. Get those compliments rolling.
So which I hated growing up, but it works. It, like, makes you laugh, so.
Right. And it reminds you that in the end, they're just your family, and that you really aren't that mad at them unless they do something crazy wrong, but in which case, you might just want to seek out a counselor. respect for one another between spouses as well as parents and children. For this one, it means I think it's a really big difference. A really big difference is made when parents trust their children and disclose issues that the family's having, whether it be financial or personal. I think when children are blindsided, either with, like, a divorce or, like, financial struggles, I think that's when they're the most confused, because as children, I remember as a child, we trust without a reasonable doubt our parents, that they are leading us in the right direction. So when something happens that is completely out of the norm or contrary to the child's belief, that'll really mess them up pretty bad. Compliment one another always. When they hear your compliments, they will strive to meet those extra expectations. Be the biggest cheerleader, not the biggest critic. And love one another in spite of our weaknesses and differences and pet peeves. We cannot force one another to change their nuances, but we personally can change to be their greatest strength. So if we identify a weakness that our significant other has or that one of our friends has, instead of trying to point it out to them over and over again, pointing out their weaknesses, instead we can take that weakness and make it our strength, because we can choose for ourselves to change. And that way we can be a bigger benefit to those around us. And there you have it. This concludes the episode for this week. One last shout out for my beautiful wife, because I am in a good mood today, a great mood today, because she has been keeping me diligent and making me wake up early and go to the gym. So I've had more energy lately and I've been happier. And it was also 80 degrees here in Florida, so I got to run in the sun, which was awesome as well.
Since we're up early, we have a lot more time to spend together in our, during our day. And it's nice to spend time together in the morning before we go about our days. And we I feel like I accomplish a lot more when I wake up early. Like, my whole day is productive.
Yeah. But I just wanted to point out that it's you. It's you that put me in this mood, baby. A great mood. A mood that will change, maybe escalate here after this podcast ends. All right. Once again, if you're listening to this podcast and you're a new viewer, thank you for making it this far. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. It's definitely been one of the faster paced episodes, which I like. Hopefully we keep it going like that. Sometimes we're just sort of stumbling through the whole episode. It doesn't feel right, but this one felt good. Thank you. Make sure you follow us on all the social medias at YoungLovePC. That's on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. I have been slightly inactive compared to January during February, but we have still attained the same level of number of plays. So thank you guys for listening to all the episodes. Keep them coming. Make sure this week that you share this podcast either with your significant other or one person that you think it could influence. We want to spread the level of love in this world. Make sure that everybody's doing their best to love everyone around them as much as they can and make the world a better place one person at a time. Tay, you got anything left to say?
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.